Welcome to Best Threesome Ever, a podcast discussing all things revolving around nerdy pop culture. Probably not what you were expecting, but it's just as fun. Now here are your hosts, Nick, Rob, and Kevin.
Six guys waiting at my house for me to come.
I can't softball them in like that. We'll take it and run.
Okay.
Hi, and welcome to Best Threesome Ever, brought to you by Mind's Eye Comics and Egan. I'm Nick.
I'm Kevin. And look, we have a couple of guest stars.
Yeah, we do.
Yay. I'm Amanda.
I'm Lee.
Yay. And Rob's not here. He's on vacation.
Yay. Yay.
It's best foursome ever now.
It is the best foursome. And we have a girl here, so finally. So that's a new thing.
What are you guys going to do with that?
We've had a couple of girl faces.
We have, but
it's
mainly...
It's a rare thing.
It's a rare thing. It's like we're nerds and we live in our parents' basement and we've never seen a girl before.
But Crystal's been on before, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Crystal's been on before. Bernadette has not been on.
Bernadette hasn't. Megan has.
Yep.
Believe me, we women are underrepresented in the nerd community, so I'm doing my part.
Well, we appreciate that. I appreciate it.
And any doubters out there, I'd just like to say, having known Amanda for years, she's a bona fide nerd. She's not faking it. You can't pull it off as long as she has.
You can't fake it.
I mean, she's an actress.
All of us women do know how to fake it, but, we try not.
Right there.
14 seconds, and here we are.
Come on, this is like a adult
this is PG?
Show. No, absolutely not.
Oh, oh God, no. Fuck shit, boners, whatever.
Yeah. Ass balls, titties, cock.
Yeah.
We want more fuck shits and blow me, so.
Okay.
You know.
Good to know.
Amanda and Lee are here. We've talked about them before. I've talked about them before. They're finally on our show, which is great. And the reason is as we've talked about in the past, we just filmed a project with them, and they're kind of here to promote that and talk about it a little bit. So first, we'll have them kind of talk about themselves so you get to know them. Go ahead, whoever wants to start.
Amanda, ladies first.
Okay, my name is Amanda Day. My job is acting, which is pretty much the best job in the whole world because I get to delve into different people and characters all the time, and I get paid for it sometimes. I do a lot of voice work. That's my bread and butter, is like commercials, voice work, that kind of thing. And then for funds, I get to do film work, and I've really gotten into fight choreography and more action stuff. I mean, the genre that I'm in love with is sci-fi, and when you can combine those things and make it something that promotes weird conversations, I'm pretty happy. So, yeah, I've been working on a couple of really cool projects I'm very proud of. And I'm also a mother of two teenagers, which is its own adventure.
They're great kids, too.
Yeah.
We met one.
Yeah, right. We made him be a unpaid servant for the day. Awesome.
You gotta tell the whole story. You've made your own PA, remember?
Right. I come bearing gifts. One of them is, yeah.
As long as they get film credit, I mean.
Right.
Really.
Exactly. It's a little bit about me.
Hi, I'm Lee. I also have a sultry voice on the microphone.
I was gonna say, you gotta match that smooth contralto.
Yeah, I'm like, I gotta follow that voice. That's why she gets all the voiceover work. My name's Lee Fillingsness, martial artist, kind of by trade, historian, linguist. I got into film a long time ago, doing local stuff in Des Moines, where I grew up. We were actually just down there last week, mm-hmm. showed her some of the old stomping grounds, and got out of it for a few years, and, like you do, you grow up, you put on a few pounds, and one day I looked in the mirror, I'm like, this isn't who I want to be anymore. Started going to the gym, and I got on Craigslist, and I was going to post an ad about teaching martial arts again. I actually went to...
Where is this going?
Sorry, yeah, no.
Visual gag on an audio podcast!
There we go. Yeah.
Awesome, I always wanted to be part of that.
Well, now you have been.
But I saw that somebody was looking for a fight coordinator for a movie. And a guy named Maya Alsman runs Green Shelf Productions. Great guy. I called him up. I said, hey, here's what I do. Here's, what I kind of bring to the table. Brought me in kind of sight unseen. And we kind of talked for about 3 hours. And then he gave me all of his actors to work with for a couple months. And we came up with some really great fights. And that was actually where I met Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing the script read through one day. And Amanda's running around covered in fruit.
I was playing Mother Earth. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Apparently, Mother Earth says revenge. She had to kill somebody. Or
no, I didn't have any fight scenes.
But it was a very interesting project that unfortunately didn't get finished. But ended up introducing me to one of my absolute favorite people in the world, one of my best friends.
Yay!
And that kind of led me into doing stuff all around the cities. Worked with a lot of great directors, a couple amazing projects, some of them that actually get finished.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Amanda, about last year, almost about this time, she's like, dude, my friend John, he used to live out here. He's coming in from
Los Angeles. Is that what I sound like?
That's what you sound
like. In
your mind?
That's what,
yes. This is actually me. I'm not Amanda right now, I promise. So she's like, you got to meet this guy. Went out for drinks. We're hanging out, and John's just got this amazing enthusiasm. He's got a vision, and he knows what it is at mm-hmm. all times. You know, and like I said, I worked with a lot of directors in the cities, and they're all fun, and they all have their own quirks. I've never worked with anybody that just knew exactly what he wanted to see and how to see it on camera. And so when he kind of came up with this idea for the Z-Fest film that we were all in, he went to Amanda first, and Amanda's like, dude, she's like, you want to be in this, and there's a, as it was written in the script, the hulking Dismon. And then it kind of came about that I started doing some producing work on it. I still don't know what producing is, but it's a lot of work.
Finding money.
Yeah. Finding money. We were making toy guns into absolutely destructive, beautiful blasters.
Pretty sweet.
All the set dressings, which, by the way, Mr. Niklaus to my right over here made some amazing panels for the lair. I don't think they made them into the final cut. I'm sorry, but they were beautiful. We've got to give props to Nick for props.
For set stuff, weird.
And so that's me.
I think I had made a customized R2-D2 stocking for John for Christmas, and he's like, I have a Christmas present for you, too. Do you want to be in a movie where you get to kill 12 space smugglers? And I was like, yes. That sounds like a great Christmas present. So it was
awesome.
I have to admit, both Nick and I were a little disappointed that we didn't get to be there for day two. Both of us do have stage combat experience.
Right.
And so we're like, I don't think they know. They don't know us. They don't know our history. So
yeah,
we get it, but we were a little disappointed.
We're sad.
Sorry about that.
They did die with the best of them.
Day two was exhausting, I think.
Oh, my God.
By the end of that weekend, I was dead. I don't know about you.
Yeah, and then I had one day off where I didn't really move because it was like 14 hours of fight choreography. And the next day, I started the prequel to Amityville Horror. So I got to be a nun, like a very saintly nun, which was slightly different than the other character.
Being a killing, revengeful individual?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I met Amanda and Lee last year during Convergence.
Yeah.
I happened to just be the moderator for one of their panels. I think it was a panel you created, one of you created, or both of you created.
Yeah, it was her idea, and we actually lost a team member, and you became part of the team.
Yeah.
It was a very
fortunate day.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And then I knew right away Amanda and I would be best friends because she comes out. I was sitting outside of the room because I wasn't sure if it was open because, of course, I didn't test the door. because I didn't know. I never, it was my first panel ever moderating. I didn't know. And out comes Amanda, and she's wearing a Chewbacca, you had like a Chewbacca like sweater on.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're going to, no, it was a dress, a Chewbacca dress.
I think so, yeah.
And I'm like, we're going to be friends. Mm-hmm. We're going to be friends.
Destiny.
It wasn't furry, it was just looked like Chewbacca, just to kind of like people. Okay. I just want to make sure people didn't think like, she was wearing like a skin Wookiee like dress. No.
She could pull it off.
Probably.
I could try that.
And then we were drinking, what were we drinking? Bourbon?
Scotch.
Oh, we had scotch, yeah.
Scotch.
Yeah, we had a couple glasses of bourbon. I gotta give a shout out to the, was that the Doubletree we were at?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've got a pretty damn good bar for a hotel bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times, Glenlivet is the best you can get, and that's not the best you can get.
So hopefully we'll be able to be at Convergence again this year.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
And do our panel again.
Yeah. Hopefully do a couple different panels, because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be the best. And then you, Amanda, you were in a video for Ubisoft, a YouTube thing for...
Tom Clancy's The Division, the video game. It was a super, super fun project. And when they called me up, it was kind of last minute, and they're like, we are looking for someone to be a female sleeper operative, and can you come in and audition? And I was like, yeah, can you send me sides? Usually you get, something to read.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked into the room and there was a table with like 12 different kinds of guns. And they just showed me how to load them. And basically I cleared a room and fake shot some people and they were like,
Awesome.
You're our gal.
The video's still on YouTube. You should check it out. It is.
I will post a link.
It's fine.
She's kicking ass on that.
The whole video was really great, and it was cool. So you're like my first like friend celebrity person that I know.
That's sad that I.
Well, I mean, I know other people, but I don't talk to them on a regular basis like I talk to you on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So that's great, and it was awesome, and it was really cool, and that our panel at Convergence was a lot of fun, and it was my first one, and it was packed full of people, and it was one of the bigger rooms. And then all weekend, that one lady and her family kept following me around.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. With the whip. The girl.
Yeah,
she wanted
to know about the knife and the whip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was so cute.
Yeah, I actually put her in touch with some good people. So I think she figured out what she needed for her story. We talked actually in your party room.
Yes.
For a little while.
That's what I think is really important with places like Convergence and podcasts like this, is that so many people that maybe don't have anyone that's into the same weird shit that we are, that they can go to a place and look around and see all these people completely passionate about something that a lot of other people in the world are not, can find family. That's what's amazing.
And I think it helps too that they can actually approach people. Like I feel Convergence, and I've only been there a couple of times, so it's still new to me. But I feel Convergence is a very friendly atmosphere where,
absolutely,
you know, that even though you're part of a panel, you're not separated by, you know, bodyguards or whatever, you know, or like you would be at like a Comic-Con or anything. Everybody is very approachable, so you can always go up and talk to people. And that's what I really dig about it, is that you can go up to people and say, hey, I really liked your thing that you talked about. Do you have time to talk about it some more? Or can we email or whatever?
That was kind of cool running around the convention. You know, a couple people, you know, pulled me aside, and I tend to stand out in the crowd just because I'm taller than
you all are humans.
But it was really cool. And, you know, we even kind of addressed it. You know, we're all of the age where when we were kids, you didn't get to do that. You hid it. You kept it. You know, your friends might have known about it, but you didn't go with a t-shirt to school. You know, you got your ass kicked. And even when you're the big guy, if there's five kids, you're no longer bigger than all of them.
Right.
And seeing that crowd of people. And there was that kid in the Indiana Jones costume.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw him, and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. And, like, you could just see it in his face. He was, like, really proud of it. And, like, it was just seeing that the world is even as bad as, you know, Cheeto McSmallhands is making things seem, that the world is actually turning into a pretty cool place.
I got a really bad visual in my head. damn it, brain, stop being so active and artistic.
Is it like a Raphael nude? Like, how are you doing that?
No, we're not. No.
Stop it. Stop it.
He's kicked off.
It's just not good.
My goal is to get a Kevin giggle by the end of this podcast.
You'll get there.
Okay, good.
It's not hard.
Yeah,
that's what she said.
So let's talk a little bit about the project we just worked on. The title of the movie is Kit's Revenge. It's a smuggler movie in the space, if you guys want to describe it better than I can, which you probably can, since you were kind of in it and a part of it.
I think the microcosmic story is it's a revenge story. It's someone that was done wrong by her ex. Terribly wrong. Bad things happen.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't want to give too much away. And then
it was rather disarming.
Yes.
Ah, boom. You'll get that when you watch it.
And everybody then, watch it.
Yeah. So. And bigger story wise, it is really about relationships. It's about her relationship with her ex-boyfriend and this group of smugglers that she used to roll with and were best friends with and was betrayed by. And then it's about her and her best friend too, who is an alien, which is really fun. It's action sci-fi. Who doesn't want to watch action sci-fi? You know?
Stupid people.
who doesn't want to watch Amanda kick every ass?
Whew, that was fun.
We have actually, Nick and I did collectively decide that since we didn't get killed specifically by you, that we can come back for the sequel.
I love that.
Yeah,
and we'll be on your side. Like, you convert us.
Okay.
Yeah, like, you beat us. You don't quite kill us, but you're like, you know, surrender, and we're like, okay. And then
it's like a light maiming, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, we get it.
A run by fruiting.
Yeah.
I earned this. This is my fault.
Right.
I like that. That's awesome. Yeah, so it is for a film festival in town called Z-Fest, which is an awesome film festival. It's really hard to contain this story into 7 minutes. We're having a... I mean, it is action in seven minutes. I think the 10-minute version, which will be one we're submitting to other film festivals and also submitting it as a proof of concept for streaming services, that the 10-minute version will be a little bit more fleshed out, which is cool, but it's looking really good, and John is really awesome at all the after effects, which usually are really, you know, you need a big budget for those, and he's like, we don't need a big budget, I just won't sleep. So, I think it's looking really cool. So
awesome.
Yeah, people can come see it at the Z-Fest screenings if they want.
And Z-Fest is when?
The first and second weekends of March, and then the Best of Fest is the weekend following. But there's 50 teams, and each of them are making basically a 7-minute movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm somehow on 5 of those teams now. And then they kind of pick the best 10, and then they kind of choose the winners from those.
They have some amazing judges, too. One of my friends, Bobby Marsden, who works in L.A., they have some really cool judges that actually know about film. And that's, I think, the danger in some of these film festivals. It's like, my mom is going to be a judge. Mm. And she watches a lot of Lifetime movies, so she knows.
I'm kind of excited Louis Anderson's going to be a judge.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
I know Louis quite well. I work his show every New Year's at Ames Center.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Cool. I met him a couple times. Pretty cool cat. Had a weird connection to him right after my grandma died. I watched an episode of Life with Louie where Louie's grandma died. Weird. And it, you know, I was a grown up, and it was just like, is the thing that I needed to see at that moment, and it was handled as though an adult wrote it to teach a lesson instead of like, everything's going to be fine and hunky-dory. It was actually really cool. So I got to, you know, he came into my hotel one time. I cornered him in a hallway, and I'm like, dude, watch your cartoon. He's like, my God, you're bigger than everybody. But no, he was a very gracious man, and you know, kind of looking forward to the festival itself.
He's super fun to work for, I guess, is the case in mine. I'm his audio guy for when he comes into town for our show. And he always orders us Carboni's pizza. And luckily, in the past couple of years, he's ordered it early enough, because normally when he comes, he always has to get Carboni's pizza, and he always forgets that it's New Year's and it might close early. So he wants to order it at like 10:30, and we're like, it's closed. And he's like, oh, well, that sucks. Next time. And...
And every single person is ordering pizza on that day?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So, and I forgot to mention or forgot to ask you guys. You guys are both local Twin Cities residents, correct?
Yeah.
True story.
Awesome.
So, Minnetonka?
South Minneapolis.
Yeah, close enough. Nobody's perfect, just kidding. And then is Z-Fest open to the public, or is it...
Yep. It's open to the public. So all the initial screenings are at the New Hope Cinema Grill, which is one of my favorite places to go. Have you guys been there?
Oh, yeah.
Like a picture of Surly.
Yeah.
Picture of Surly hot wings and watching movies. It's the best. And then
you can rent it for your... Or you can rent the theaters. And
yeah.
We did that for Amanda's birthday.
Yeah. You can bring in any movie you want.
Awesome. Yeah, I think my friend did that.
It would be the perfect place to do like a little lair party.
Yeah, it would be.
And there's like a minimum of like $350, which you can easily spend with 5 people buying food and drinks.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, but that was a very fun birthday party. We watched The Princess Bride, and it's just better every time. And then I think the final, like the best of, will be at the Radisson Blu at Mall of America.
Cool.
So they do like a we're fancy ceremony kind of a thing.
Ooh, red carpet affair.
Be on the lookout for me and a long-haired blonde fella as Space Jay and Silent Bob.
Oh, the other. Yes. Whatever we were, smugglers. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
Smugglers.
Yeah, we
should all wear our costumes, you guys.
We should.
My costume is disgustingly filthy.
I bet you it is.
We were crawling around. We shot this in a basement of several, I mean, I don't know, it's a 150-year-old building.
Yeah, very old.
It used to be a bottling house.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like 2 inches of asbestos dirt on the ground.
Yeah.
which I was crawling through. It was
super healthy, super.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
My nose was a box of Triscuits by the end of that day.
Yeah, Space Jay and Silent Bob right there.
That's amazing.
Noise. Oh yeah, that's our buddy Mason Tire.
I liked him. He was a cool cat.
Picture that you local... people can't see. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
We can put that one on the
probably.
Yeah. That's probably.
If you need a stunt guy, hire Mason. He's the best.
Awesome. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I'd like to see the finished product. I mean, we were there for a day, filmed, I don't know, probably 30 seconds of what probably finished product will be like 30 seconds, which is fine. But it was fun. I didn't say a single goddamn thing. Don't care.
You thought so many deep and profound things, didn't you?
Yeah, like, I'm hungry. No, I'm
Which, shout out to Amanda for all the good food.
Oh, God.
That was wonderful.
I may have overextended myself for that shoot. I was like, I can produce this. I can star in it. I can make all the food for everyone.
Yeah, it always sounds like a good
people.
Idea.
I know that feeling. I truly do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really your people at home, your partner, who is like, what have you done to yourself again? What is wrong with you? I'm like, give me scotch and give it to me now. And you're like, I know, here you go.
No, when we were making all the blasters and Clint came home, and there we are, just a kitchen table full of, you know, big brutal looking guns, and
yeah,
you know, there's two big guys and his fiance, and he just looks at it, he's like, and this is a dude who's like, yeah, this is just any Wednesday.
Yeah.
He's a very, very good sport about
it. Clint's the man.
Yeah.
I once tech directed set design, sound design, and light design to show.
Oh my god.
That was the worst idea ever in my life. And it was a high school show, and you'd be like, oh, that's super easy. No, it is not.
No, it's not.
I obviously Kevin with the layer, you feel that a lot when we're filming.
Especially for the season opener, because we're going to have to make burgers and shit.
What are you going to have to make?
Well, good thing we have a... Good thing you're a chef.
Are you really?
Yeah, well, I used to be. I worked for the Mouse.
Let's cook together.
Orlando.
Oh.
I love cooking.
Whereabouts?
My second favorite.
Not anymore. I work in...
Well, no, where did you work in Orlando?
Disney World.
But like...
The Yacht Beach in...
Oh,
their,
okay.
In their banquet kitchen.
Where they filmed Thunder in Paradise back in the day.
So I actually had to, for his 50th birthday, I had to cook for the vice CEO, so that was fun.
Very cool.
Do you cook as a wonderful pastime? Are you still passionate about it?
On occasion, yes. I've actually been asked to do a private event for somebody who does... they do like knife displays and stuff like that. They want me to come and cook some stuff. And do some.
They do, you know, knife displays.
Show them how to cut.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like,
only if you get free sand, you get to keep the knife.
See, I naturally think of like daggers, but you're talking about kitchen knives.
Kitchen knives.
Got it.
And if you visit Amanda, her kitchen knives are basically daggers. They're
right.
Awesome.
They look like you just got stabbed by Worf.
Well, everyone, I'm pretty sure at least a third of my friends list has sent me the video of the kitchen axe that's going around Facebook right now.
That is so cool.
And, I'm not going to lie, I kind of want one.
The kitchen axe?
Oh, I'll have to show
it. It's like a mini axe.
It looks like a
Viking style bearded axe.
Yeah.
It's not like an Alaskan knife, the center handled type knife, but it's an actual.
It doesn't have the connector. I mean, it does kind of look like that, though.
You know what I'm talking about?
It almost looks like they retrofitted, like, an ice skate or something.
That is a roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget. It's got, like, an official Alaskan Eskimo name of a knife, but I forget what it is. I used to have one. My mom got me one. It's, like, a handle, and then there's a blade around it as I visually show them, and obviously nobody in the audience
that's
can see
sweet.
It.
Classic.
Classic.
Well, now we have to look that up and see how similar it is.
It's like a... Samsonite. I was just
thinking of Eskimo knife. No, it's not like that. The Eskimo knife is more.
What's all this one in a million talk?
looks like a weapon I had in at least two Diablo games on the assassin character.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I want to punch somebody with one of those.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel that would be a bad idea because the blade, you'd have to. It's kind of like brass knuckles. You'd have to hit them just right, or else that blade's gonna fold underneath your hand, or have a really
have
good grip.
Good,
it's press
more unlocking.
Yeah.
If it's sharp enough, it'll.
So I just handed Amanda a pair of brass knuckles. So the story behind those brass knuckles is my great grandmother owned a bar in South Chicago in
the baddest part of town.
Right prior and right after Prohibition. It's called the 19th Hole. The story is that Al Capone and his Capones hung around there because Al Capone was
Capone's.
A friend. Right. Al Capone was a friend of my great uncle's, and so the story is that those brass knuckles are apparently one of Al Capone's Capone's brass knuckles. I don't know if there's any truth to it, but it's a good story.
And I'm wearing brass knuckle earrings.
And you are wearing brass knuckle earrings.
Oh, dude.
That's perfect.
That's why she's my best friend.
Awesome. That's really cool. You know, so when I got engaged, I decided I wanted to get my fiancé brass knuckles as his, you know, wedding ring.
Right.
And I wanted...
Phenomenal.
And I was looking for someone to customize them to be like, my bitch or something. I haven't found the right jeweler yet, but yeah.
I bet you, what's the things remember could probably do it. can you write my bitch on these things,
Brookstone,
please?
Brookstone,
there you go.
Yes. See, I knew I needed to
They engraved a K-bar for me.
Did they?
Yeah. Awesome. I had Bohica engraved on the blade. For those that don't know, it means bend over, here it comes again. B-O-H-I-C-A. And the K-bar is a big, mean-looking Marine Corps fighting knife.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
There's got to be somebody at like Fest who would be able to do that.
Yeah. Right?
I would ask some of the jewelers at Fest. Some of them are pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, when we get married, I'll lovingly present him with this ring of my, you know...
Or four
undying
rings.
Yeah.
No, she. How many rings did Clint get you?
So he proposed in Scotland in a castle with a golden eagle. You can't make this shit up.
Fuck you, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, way to like, God, nobody can top that.
Like, he should have kept this secret from everybody until after we all, like, got engaged, at least.
Seriously, he walked me up onto this turret and he said, don't put your hands in your pockets. Which is a really strange... And the reason was he then raised his hand and this gigantic golden eagle landed on his hand holding the ring. But if you have your hands in your pocket, it thinks, yum, yum food, I want to rip those fingers off.
Oh!
It was,
so, point and safety tip. Thanks, Egon.
Are we talking about Clint or the eagle that thinks that?
Right.
Kind of a little comment.
Depends on the night.
Yeah. No, he ended up getting you what?
13, a ring for each day we were in Scotland. And part of it is he's like, I know you don't care about diamonds or gold or anything, so I'm going to get a bunch of quirky fun rings that have sentimental value. So
ring pops.
Yeah,
cool.
Once it's gone, the relationship's over. Yeah.
What she didn't know is he made another ring and fueled all of his anger and hate into it. One ring to rule them all.
Right.
I was going to say, were they like the rings from the Mandarin?
Mandarin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the 10 rings. Good
my buddy, when my buddy got married in Duluth, he was trying to memorize his vows all day long, and we kept on fucking with him, and we were like, one ring to rule them all. Luckily, he didn't say that. He did fuck up his wedding vows, but he luckily did not say one ring to rule them all.
I feel like saying that really would not be fucking up your wedding vows.
Well, I legit have thought about that.
His wife is not nearly as understanding of jokes like that, though, so she probably would have killed
him. See, but Crystal would, and you could totally Crystal see me, like, putting the ring on the finger, one ring to rule them all.
Right.
is that your fiancé?
No, that'd be him.
Girlfriend.
Girlfriend. Yeah. Or,
well,
I'm sorry.
Now we got plans for your wedding.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't think Izzy would like it if I did that. I think she'd probably punch me in the face.
Boo.
I was saying boo earns.
Where were we? Oh, we went off on a tangent. Drink. Z-Fest. We were talking about Z-Fest. That's what it was.
Oh, yes.
Open to the public. Is it charged? Do they charge ticket prices? Or
they
is it just kind of
it's
open?
It's cheap. It's like $8 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
like
eight
that.
Or $10. And
I think it all goes back into the fest.
And you can see as many movies as you want to. Or...
So all the movies are split into two nights.
Cool.
Which you will sit through some non-great.
Good thing it's only 7 minutes.
So, that's
how you get good, though.
Exactly.
And you're going to be helping local filmmakers.
Right.
Totally.
And I think that's the important part is local things. And we are obviously very supportive of local artists because that's what we all are. And we like to support our friends. And even if, it's not good. I mean, look at the first episode of The Lair. Just kidding.
No, the first episode of The Lair is not great. It isn't. I wholeheartedly will admit that. But... You know, we hit our stride about episode 3, and then by episode 10, you can tell I figured out what the fuck I'm doing.
And by next season...
You have to evolve as an artist.
Absolutely.
And you can't look back and go, oh my god, what is that thing?
And I've directed plenty of stage stuff, but this is my first time with film, and it is super different!
It's a different beast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the other cool thing about being on set was, I mean, they weren't, I mean, there was no joke. It wasn't like a tripod and that's it. I mean, it was fucking full...
It was a full crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crew. Nothing. I like the way we film the lair.
We don't, like, that office does not have to cut the
space.
Oh, fuck no.
We wound up really lucky with our crew, though.
Yeah, our crew was amazing.
And we had a red camera donated to us. We had Max Schoberg as
DP.
Yeah, and I mean, that guy got on the ground to get shots. I mean, we were filming, like, the final shots of the last day, dude got on the ground. You know, not even in costume, got on the ground to just film me walking through this door that was way too small. So I look at
the one going in
going into the bottling room.
Nice. That's awesome.
And I think, too, you know, John has worked, the director and writer has worked for a lot of YouTube channels. Mm-hmm. And it has to be so fast. I mean, you just have no time. And the script was incredibly ambitious. Mm-hmm. To shoot that much in that short of time, it really should have been a 3-day shoot. But you can't ask people to work for free for 3 days. We will. And I think, you know, I've been in the film industry working full-time for, like, 12 years now, and you just realize Minnesota has so many incredibly talented cast and crew here. Mm-hmm. I wish there was more stuff that's happening. I think there's kind of a resurgence. It's really,
I hope
really
so.
Cool.
And I know, I thought for a while, at least, every film seemed to fucking come to Minnesota to film. It was always like, shoot Minnesota. And then sometime shortly after Ventura, I want to say, like, they stopped really promoting Minnesota as a filming location for some stupid reason. And then they imposed some stupid film tax. That's what I remember hearing. I don't know.
Gran Torino was supposed to film here. It's set, the original story is set here. It's about the Hmong community. And they just couldn't get a deal. And so ended up going to Detroit. Wonderful movie, but...
Yeah. Well, part of that is the Minnesota Film and Television Board has been trying to work with the state for years. And we have something called Snowbait. So all the states, like, you know, Atlanta right now is the epicenter of filmmaking. It's because they have incredible rebates that you can go and spend $1 million and you get 30% back. So, of course, the big studios are like, yes, absolutely. And the thing is, Minnesota had that for a while, and now we're fighting to get more of that back because it brings in tons of money.
So if people want to fight that, can they call their local reps?
They can absolutely call their state representatives. Mm-hmm. And what I think the best thing to do is to get in touch with the Minnesota Film and Television Board, get in touch with the Twin Cities Film Fest, all the film festivals that are in town, and say, how can we volunteer? How can we change the artistic culture of Minnesota? Mm-hmm. You know? We have the power.
Weird little shout out to Eric Stolansky from who played Rabbit in Super Troopers is on the Minnesota Film and Television Board. A really nice guy. Quite the gentleman. Very different from his character. I guess acting is actually acting. But those guys work really hard. There's actually an open house on Friday at the Minnesota Film and Television Board if you want to see what these guys do. But some really great movies. One that didn't get enough notice, Wilson.
Yeah.
Was a fantastic movie.
That was all shot here.
Yeah.
No.
They filmed part of it at Lord Fletcher's where I worked. They filmed part of it... right over the place where I get my martial arts supplies, not too far south of here in St. Paul.
Yeah, there's a, I don't know what film it is because they weren't able to talk about it. There was a film that filmed right at Jack's Cafe, which is a bar I used to bartend at, and they like redid our upper, one of our upper smaller bars, but they put their set design up and all that, and they filmed there. So, and which is funny that the film industry kind of has that thing, but our theater industry is still one of the top ones in the nation next to New York and Chicago.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind that it's not like an equal, you would think it would kind of be equal, that you have a really good theater program, so you would think that the film and television industry would follow suit, but it doesn't seem to be that way. But obviously, if you're not getting 30% of your $1 million back, then...
Mm-hmm. I will say, though, a lot of the theater people really do their best to help out. In film, our friend Charles Hubble, very active in local theater, very active in local film, and he's helped me out on a lot of stuff. Great guy, but
super talented.
But I think it's the government that's kind of keeping us from, it's the government. They're coming for but it's just the, you know, like Amanda was saying, the Snowbait. If we had that, we'd have a lot more films being done here.
Sure.
You know. Something to take the sting of Mighty Ducks out.
Talking about, it's an awesome movie. Clearly, according to that movie, you can rollerblade from Minneapolis to the Mall of America with no problem.
I think you mean the sting of Sugar and Spice.
Okay,
Sugar and Spice. I got callbacks. It was between me and one other kid for a fairly sizable role in that film.
Okay.
They ended up shooting the football scenes at my high school.
So were you going to be Sugar or Spice?
Neither. I was going to be one of the kids in the video store that Cyclops works at.
Oh,
specifically the one practicing the Lamaze exercises with him. I would have gotten to touch Cyclops his stomach.
Can we film that? Like,
I hate the kid who got that role so much.
Like, I need to see this. I just saw the David Prowse thing. Yeah, like, have you seen that documentary on Netflix?
Oh, yeah.
Where they, like, go ahead and they refilm, so David Prowse gets to be Anakin Skywalker, like he always should have been. Yeah. And, we should film that scene of you doing Lamaze.
Oh, my God, we should.
Yes. Yes, we should.
Maybe we should tie it into the lair somehow.
I think I can figure out
find out some weird way to film it in there. Well, and not only that, but the amount of people that have made it big that have come from this state. I mean, Penn and Teller, and I'm only bringing them up because I was just in Vegas. Penn and Teller got their start at our Minnesota Renaissance Festival. They were an act at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival for many years.
That. Yeah. Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, and then they made it big, and then left and went to Vegas and became huge. And
they did the forward to the Puke and Snot book.
Yeah, so. They did. And what amazes me even more, and I don't know if you guys noticed it too. Maybe I'm the only one that does. But the amount of times in any TV show. And almost any movie, but mainly TV shows, how many times Minnesota is mentioned somewhere in some TV show? Whether it would be... Mm-hmm. Well, in The Simpsons, it was mentioned a lot because one of the writers was from Minnesota. Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
The Ben's character was from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was I Met Your Mother? That's right. Marshall was from Minnesota.
Yep.
And they talk about the 98? The field goal incident?
Yeah. Have you seen the TV show Fargo?
I have not.
Okay, because they cast and shot some of that here, but they were trying to cast some of it here.
I think the movie was filmed here too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and well, of course, then Ewan McGregor, and we talked about this. Ewan McGregor. I don't know if I mispronounced it right.
Ewan.
Take a drink. He got a lot of shit for making that comment about the crazy accent. I mean, it was an over exaggerated accent. Of course, it's a little crazy. I mean, it's kind of farcical the way that they talk in that show, and that's...
Yeah.
Well, and even in Minnesota, we make fun of Minnesota accent.
Yeah, we do. So if you're...
What are you talking about?
Oh, see there, then.
Yeah.
Oh, have some hot dish, it'll be fine.
But that helps round out a character. I mean, that's what... But I've been working on an accent for my D&D character. One of them's like a Russian accent. I'm trying to get the Cockney accent down for tonight, but, man, it's hard. You're really good at accents. Lee's good at accents. He's just kind of creepily deceptive.
Well, no, I did live in Europe for a while when I was younger. In 2001, 2002, 2003, when it wasn't exactly popular to be American. So if I was in London, I'd just kind of manage a bit of this.
Is it popular now to be American?
Back then, I mean, really, with the start of the Iraq War, really changed. I happened to be walking through, going to school in Paris, and... As I keep mentioning, I'm huge. I'm also a martial arts instructor, so I don't worry about...
He's not that huge.
You were just...
Freaking huge, man. Yeah.
But I'm big enough that I don't worry about my safety the way other people do. And I was on the phone with my dad, who's living in the United States. And, you know, it was like that time of day where we could both talk. And I walked through a protest, speaking English in an American accent. And a couple guys tried to kick my butt. But guys that fight in groups are generally not exactly the toughest and strongest and... You know, I was able to get away, but that just kind of got me started. Like, you know what? I'm gonna start using the accents. So,
self-preservation is how you refined it.
And then I got back to the United States and I realized, oh yeah, I can do this to be foreign and interesting. So.
I find that if I'm somewhere, I usually pick up the accent. I'm originally from Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's got a very, very weird. Kind of southern, but it's not quite southern accent.
We sure could use a fella like you here in Cincinnati.
Right. My family was from Chicago, so I have this, like, when I was a kid, and I have audio recordings of it, it's slightly southern, but slightly Chicago. So I'll say, and when I start drinking, you'll hear it. It'll come out. I say words like Paul is very Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'll say, like, duck, like a... Some southern twang comes out. It's a very weird accent. But I also find that when I'm somewhere, like if I was in England or wherever, I find that if I start hearing it enough, I'll just pick it up.
It's interesting because as a voiceover talent, you have to be geographically neutral and try not to have any, you know, hint of where you're from other than the middle of everything. So that's...
That sounds complicated.
The town I'm from in South Dakota is just north of where Tom Brokaw grew up.
Like I'm Wally's.
Please tell me everybody in that town talks like that.
That was kind of like the love child of Al Gore and Tom Brokaw over there.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, America.
Lockbox.
Strategery.
It's
not even a word.
Strategery.
So, speaking of characters and voices, we've all played multiple roles in multiple different things. What are some of your guys' favorite characters that you've played? And maybe a brief reason why.
Are you talking about film or D&D or what?
A film, like a production, like a character you've actually had to physically play.
I actually really loved playing Kit in Kit's Revenge, because, I mean, just tough, but a little bit of a sense of humor, very much in control, but also driven by passionate revenge. That was pretty awesome. You go next, and I'll go after you.
Got to play Don Quixote for a little while in high school, which, you know, for a big weird guy that reads history and plays with swords is kind of a perfect role. Always enjoyed that. If you haven't read, you know, Don Quixote or seen Man of La Mancha.
Mm-hmm.
Do it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Hit pause. We'll wait.
I did just get to be in a love story, and I don't...
On the love boat?
On the love boat.
Exciting.
It's a story about kind of star-crossed lovers from very different parts of the world, a Somali Minnesotan, and my character comes from a very conservative Christian Iowan home, and how they come together. And it was extremely challenging for me. The director was just amazing to work with, and it's hard to play a love story. I mean, you got to manufacture this chemistry, and I loved that whole process of getting into that character, and the falling in love part was really a curious exploration.
Never got to play a leading man. Oddly enough, I know that's weird.
The time is young, my friend.
Sure. Kevin?
Well, as far as film goes, I really only have a lot of experience with Gravitas. I love playing him. I really do. He's kind of my pretend extension of myself.
Right.
Being the bad guy is fun sometimes. Mm-hmm. But as far as other roles I've done, like stage, Mr. Bucket, Charlie Bucket's dad, and
cool.
The Chocolate Factory was a very, very fun part, especially the soft shoe number and getting to know the kid who's playing Charlie, two of them, because we had like a Charlie A and a Charlie B, because kids can only do
so much
at night. That was a great role.
Which one was your favorite of the Charlies?
Neither of them was. No, Will was. Just because he and I had better chemistry. The other kid was fine too, but Will and I definitely we had good stage chemistry as well.
Right.
Cool.
I think my favorite that I've ever had to play was Officer Krupke in West Side Story. We did my senior year. We played that.
Such a great part.
But instead of playing him, my director, Shelley, was not. She didn't want to do the whimsical idiot cop one. She's like, no, I want fucking New York cops.
Mm.
And so the guy that played Lieutenant Trank, Brian Moynihan, same size, same build, same loud, boisterous voice as I am. Like, we could almost be brothers. And so he played the lieutenant, and I played Sergeant Krupke, and she's like, I want them to be New York badass cops. So we got to be, like, badass cops in the 60s.
Came in on the song and just started beating them with billy clubs.
Pretty much, yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I tossed a lot of the actors around. It was a lot of fun. It was kind of slightly choreographed, and I was like, I didn't want to, like, toss them, but a few of them were like, no, just fucking toss me, it's fine. I'm like, all right, cool. Woo! Here we go.
I kind of want to see you dance fighting, though.
I didn't get to do that as Officer Krupke, unfortunately. I know, I was sad, too. I danced in a lot of other shows.
Do you want me to put in, like, a dance fight number?
Yes.
Yes?
Duh. I'd like to personally
Can I come in and
that?
Be part of that?
But,
breakdance fighting.
The best part was, the big thing for this show was everybody wanted to smoke, and so Lieutenant Trank was like, I definitely have to smoke, and Shelly's like, sure, and I'm like, well, if he gets to smoke, I get to smoke, but instead of smoking cigars, I get to smoke stogies, because I'm like, he's a sergeant, he's working the streets, and why he's walking around this lieutenant, I don't know, but... So I got to be the badass cigar smoking. So like the school scene, where they're all dancing around, I just stood in the background, just taking my stogie, sitting against the wall, just puffing away. I'm like, this is a great role.
I can't. I have had to smoke. I was in a film noir piece called Gun, and I had to smoke pretty much nonstop, and it is the worst. I just want to vomit the whole time. I hate it. And then trying to be like cool and seductive.
Hi there, sailor.
Yeah, can I have a vomit bucket just real quick?
D Do you smoke the herbal ones or do you smoke the grill?
I smoke the herbal ones. But okay. after 30 of those, done. I feel real nasty because I don't smoke in regular life.
I quit smoking, but when I was just in Vegas, I forgot that you can still smoke in casinos.
Sure can.
That was...
I worked at a nightclub in Paris, and the smoke was so bad, like it just constantly coughing. And I got a tip, like if you smoke a cigarette before you go in, the smoke isn't that bad. It's like a flu shot, but with cancer. And so at 26, I started smoking, and you know, fortunately, was able to kind of put it behind me. But then my brothers got me into cigars, which are wonderful, but you know, that's $10 or $15 worth of cancer at a time. You know, yeah.
I guess I lied. I did smoke for 3 months when I was 18. I had a gang member boyfriend. And I was so cool. And then after the end of that summer, I was like, I hate this. Why am I doing this? I'm going to stop. So.
I don't remember when I stopped. I started in high school and I stopped one year just all of a sudden. They just became disgusting. I'm like, why am I doing this?
Our mom had a deal with us that if we didn't smoke while we turned 18, she would give us, you know, $150. So it kept me away from them.
That's a long-term goal to look. I mean, that's pretty great that you'd be like, in 6 years, I just have to make it. You know, if you're getting tempted. And I don't know, my kids are in middle school, and my daughter's like, oh, yeah, well, I could obviously get any kind of drug I wanted. I'm in middle school.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, great.
Awesome. I go to public school.
Yeah.
I can see you saying that, too.
Yeah. And you send them to private school, be like, I can get the same thing, it's just higher prices.
Yes, yes. Prices have gone up 22%. It's crazy.
Yeah. Dime bags are no longer a dime, people.
No, and they keep on cutting it. You know, it's basically baby food these days. You know?
So. It is. It is. It's high market value stuff. That's why baby formula is locked up now, is because they use it to cut drugs. That's in case you didn't know why, or why people were asking why the fuck baby formula is locked up. That's why. Cut drugs, people. You can cut drugs with it. You're welcome.
Well, then you're getting actually some nutritional supplements alongside the,
that's true.
You know, meth. So there's that. Your folic acid.
I never thought about that. Never.
So you got stronger bones as you lose your teeth.
Which is weird. What else? Anything else you did about the film that you want to talk about? Or?
I mean, if you want to send them over to our page, I'd love
to. Absolutely.
Like, we have a Mars Rising page.
Yep.
That's the production company.
And the Kids Revenge page.
There's a Kids Revenge page.
I'll send them that.
If you want to donate, you can donate. We're working on post-production right now, and we have a composer that we're getting locked in to work on the original score, which is really awesome. And my website's amandaday.com. You can kind of, I try to update it sometimes.
Yeah. You can find us all on IMDb.
Yeah, you can. Hmm? It's true. Yeah.
So sorry.
I have one great IMDb story for you.
Oh, yeah?
Before we wrap. So I had just started dating my boyfriend. Like, we weren't even boyfriend and girlfriend. And he was at work, and his boss was like, hey, aren't you dating an actress? Let's look her up on IMDb. He's like, cool. So they're looking through, and there's a film called Douche Baggins. That is
sounds kind of like a porn.
A Lord of the Rings porn parody.
I need to see it right fucking now.
And I am listed, Amanda Day is listed as female hobbit number 3. And he's sitting there with his boss, and he's like, Amanda would totally be in this porn. He's joking, of course. And so he texts me, he's like, wow, female hobbit number 3. I have no idea what he's talking about. I was like, I'm female hobbit number 1, bitch. And I'm just kind of playing. And finally, eventually, he's like, you should really check IMDb. I feel like you may be credited in a movie or not, which unfortunately, no one asked me to be in the movie. I was kind of disappointed by it.
Starring role.
It wasn't. It was like, Bilbo's left the Shire, and I need to find who fits these rings and their cock rings.
Right,
you know.
Yes.
Of course.
Well, good stuff.
I imagine it had to have been Dildo Baggins, though.
That is so much better than Douche Baggins.
Yeah. Well, that's been used in Lord of the G-Strings. I mean, what's that?
What's that? Oh, so that's already been used.
No, I only watched that one for the articles.
There's a weird wizard porn thing you playing in my head where at the very end he's like, a wizard comes exactly when he's expected to come.
Dude!
Oh,
can write it's my
never
my.
Too early.
Oh no wonder I couldn't find it. I had the audacity to spell the word douche correctly, and that. How could I?
Yeah. How dare you?
Spelled D O O S H. So you know this is a quality production.
High quality.
Amanda would be in a much better spelled porn than that.
I think we're in the wrong industry, because seriously, anybody, it seems like anybody can just make a porn these days. I mean, really. Yeah. And just sell it on the interwebs. Although, it actually does amaze me that there is still people paying for porn when you can get it for free.
Have they not heard of the internet?
Yeah, clearly, they have not.
Do they not have a phone?
People are trying to make money. They are trying to build a career here.
I know.
Show some respect.
I do, repeatedly.
It's an art and craft unto itself.
I stopped paying for porn a long time ago.
Yes.
Not that I... Well, I was going to talk about the...
Hold on, plot summary.
Oh, dear. Please.
While the good-hearted Frodo is away delivering the evil ring to Mount Doom. Wow, they're not even beating around the bush on that one. But I bet they're about to... The horrible, lesser-known hobbit Douche Baggins delivers a bag of rings to all the female hobbits in the Shire. That sounds taut and sexy.
It's.
I could just see the level of acting. I mean,
I know.
Yeah. You know how we said we can go to New Hope Cinema Grill and screen anything we want?
Oh my god. That's my birthday party.
Nothing like
July 28th, motherfuckers. Everyone's invited.
Nothing like drinking beer, eating hot meat, and watching porn in a movie theater with a group of other people.
These
do you ever
are
not?
A few of my favorite things.
Right. Nobody invite Pee Wee Hermans.
When the dog bites.
Mm. Awkward. I was going to say something about porn. I don't remember what it was. Well,
this isn't a subject that's just completely exhausted, so I'm sure we can talk about many, many things.
We could go on for hours about porn, apparently, okay. Or anything else, or movies. Or
about
anything
13 minutes, usually.
Ladies, that one was for you, I guess. where are we going with this? I had a thought process, and I got sidetracked by porn.
Hobbit porn.
Been there.
Hobbit porn, let alone.
We were talking about Amanda's IMDb.
Oh, IMDb pages, that's right.
Do we drink when we go off on a tangent?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Everybody drinks on a tangent. Yeah. Booze. At a point, we were talking about characters, favorite characters. Are there any characters that you, that we, going back to that whole thing, are there any characters you've played that you were like,
Every time I was in Greece.
Yeah.
I would say vulnerability is sometimes challenging for me to really open up and be very... It's taken me a long time to be able to be a character that's very vulnerable and helpless, because you have to cry in front of a lot of people, and getting to that place emotionally is very, very exhausting. And it's incredibly challenging, but yeah, those are ones that are hard for me to get there, for sure. But they're also... sometimes the most challenging, which is
right.
I'd say I'd like to do something. I'd like to break outside my box. I've generally been typecast as a bad guy, and I've done that for myself. But you know, when I walk through doors, I'm terrifying on film. And I've actually helped set up those shots. But I would like to do something emotionally vulnerable. You know, kind of get that other side, because you know, everybody's got, you know, we've got levels and we've got layers.
Right.
I was watching The Big Sick, which was an amazing movie. Kumail Nanjiani talking about his now wife went into a coma. And of all people, Ray Romano gave an amazing performance.
Incredible.
And I hated Everybody Loves Raymond. I never liked his stuff, but I watched him. And the guy can act. And
absolutely.
He was funnier than I'd ever seen him. And he was very sentimental and sweet. And think about, you know, being typecast a lot myself. I'd like to do something like that. I'd like to, you know, maybe show a different side or portray a different character. Got offered the chance to play the Specter of Death, but in a different way. As something somebody comes to terms with. I was volunteering at the Twin Cities Film Festival. Producer, you know, and like, I wish he had been chomping on a cigar and leaning out of a sedan, but he's like, tell me, do you act? I said, oh, a little bit. And he's like, well, I got this thing. And he, you know, talking about this lady that's coming to terms with mortality, and I am the metaphor for that. And I've been chosen for my size a lot, but that was kind of a thing, like, non-threatening and non-abrasive, and I'm really looking forward to the project. I think we're going to be doing something in April.
Nice.
But, you know, kind of a cool deal.
Right. I found one of the challenges. I considered a robot performing at the Renaissance Festival, even though our show, and I love working with Kevin, but just doing it for 5 hours, and you have to maintain being funny.
Oh my god!
And with especially like with crowds of assholes, and you know, just doing it time after time. At the
Renaissance Festival?
I know, right? Drunk assholes, weird. But it was just, I found that some days you're just like, it really tested you as an actor just to like keep going, to be like, oh, I still have to be funny, and I still have to deliver these lines like they're the funniest fucking things in the world, even though I've said them 300,000 times today, and it's only the first weekend, and I've been doing this for 6 years. But it's like, I just found that very challenging. But much like you, if I I would like to change another role, because I mean, we were pretty much just playing ourselves, more dickish versions of ourselves.
No, it was pretty much you guys. I caught a few of those shows.
But we were allowed to get away with it because you can say a lot more.
Yeah.
I feel bad about it. Sort of.
I will miss that part.
Right?
Just talking shit at my own whimsy was...
Right. And then people think, oh, it's funny. It's part of the act. No, we're really...
No. You're an asshole.
I wish you guys could do it one more year just in case Less Funny Cartman showed up again.
No.
Oh, God.
That poor kid.
But I would like to do something that's more, because I've obviously been typecast a lot as big honky roll, or honky roll.
That's honky? You're a big honky roll.
I know I am. But cinnamon like the roll. Badass, like, a, you know, Officer Krupke. I played Matthew in Jesus Christ Superstar. That was kind of, it wasn't really sentimental, but it was more singing and dancing.
It was a departure.
Right. but nothing I've ever had to like cry on stage for, or... But just to do something like that, but I haven't acted in other than The Layer.
Well, maybe next year you guys need to do something for Z-Fest. Am I right?
Maybe. Maybe we'll make a short film of The Layer.
Seriously, that would be...
I mean, they're already... Really cool. Like, actually doing... We would have to do a shorter episode of The Layer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually have to leave because I have six guys waiting at my house for me to come.
That is
be
hot.
My new character that I've played.
Well, can you please just isolate? I have six guys waiting at my house for me to come.
Yeah, yeah. I can do anything.
Oh, can that be like the teaser at the beginning of the episode?
Yeah.
Yes, it can be.
You can't softball them in like that. We'll take it and run.
Okay.
You got to put that in there somewhere, too.
Right. Well, normally we would do nerd grabs, but I think we'll save that for next show.
Yeah.
We can do that. Yeah. Didn't really have anything big anyways. But obviously this has been Best Threesome Ever, brought to you by Mind's Eye Comics in Eagan, and I want to thank Amanda and Lee for
absolutely
being on our show, finally getting you guys here.
Yay.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to come review Black Panther.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, and that other, that's not the Black Widow movie.
Oh, the Red Sparrow?
Red Sparrow.
I'm looking forward to that.
It looks good.
Yeah.
It does look good, but I'm like, they're just, it's Black Widow.
The thing is, I don't want that to be
a Black Widow movie.
It's true.
I know.
But if they did a Black Widow movie, I wouldn't want a story, like an origin. I would want, the only thing I want to know what happened in Budapest.
Yeah, right.
I want that movie.
Yeah, and I don't think... Anyways, we'll talk about that later. Jennifer Lawrence's accent's kind of horrible. But anyways, it just sounds bad. Anyways.
Tangent, drink.
That's right. This has been Best Threesome Ever. Mind's Eye Comics, and again, I'm Nick.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Lee.
And we will see you next time.
Bye.
The views held here by the nerds of Best Threesome Ever do not directly reflect the views of nerds everywhere.